hard to believe. It's truly hard to believe. It is the week three already. Week three edition of Targets and Touches, which is all sponsored by the Sharp app. Go to sharp.app. Also go to Google Play App Store. Go to the Apple App Store. Go download the Sharp app. Also, make sure to subscribe, WinDailySports.com. You can use the promo code NFL2021, $100 off a six-month gold membership. Oh, that also can be found, that link for the promo code, down in the description, along with all of the tools that we have you can use when you get a gold membership, optimizers, total tools, all of that. But it is time for Targets and Touches. My name is John Jansen. Follow me at JJansen34. I am joined by my guy, as always, on a Tuesday, Stoby at Stoweby. And Stoby, we're taking a look at some targets and touches here from week two that is going to help us out going into week three. I'll just start out a very generic one to get us going here. What was the biggest surprise, you know, from week one to week two, like what was the biggest difference now that you saw? And whoa, that guy, either the targets went up, the touches went up, or they went way down. Just what was one that really surprised you?
I'm a little bit surprised, not necessarily the change. I'm surprised that Robert Woods hasn't been getting utilized more in the offense for the Rams. I really thought that.
And that it's been a lot of Cooper Kupp. That's the surprising part to me.
Yeah, and I wasn't fading Kupp like a lot of folks were. I know there's some that were a little bit down on him this year. I wasn't quite that, but I didn't expect him to be one of the top two or three wide receivers over the first couple of weeks. That was very, very unexpected to me. That's something that I'm going to have to look a little bit further into and just kind of see what's going on. If Woods is being schemed out of these plays from a defensive standpoint, and Kupp just happens to be the beneficiary of it, or what's going on, or if Woods just isn't getting separation, I need to take a closer look at that. But that is kind of surprising to me. I was expecting a lot more out of Woods so far.
Yeah,
in the first couple weeks.
I think the biggest jump, and I don't know if it was a surprise, but Courtland Sutton, three targets, one catch, three targets in week one. Week two, nine catches on 12 targets. That is a significant jump. We knew it was going to jump because of the injury to Jerry Jeudy, but we didn't know still if it was going to go elsewhere, if he was going to remain, if he was going to even be the number one guy, if it was going to be Noah Fant, if it was going to be Tim Patrick, you know, who was going to get those targets. It all went to Courtland Sutton. And the good thing with Teddy Bridgewater now is that he's actually throwing the ball down the field a lot more. It's completely out of left field. Now, of course, he played the Giants. Giants are actually a pretty good defense. I know they've gotten shredded a little bit. They're a pretty good defense, so I'll give him a little bit of credit for that. But Jacksonville is not, and he was maybe able to take advantage of that. So we'll see how that continues. But Courtland Sutton, I mean, is this what we should expect? Close to double-digit targets each game for him with Jerry Jeudy out?
I think that we should. I mean, even if Bridgewater's yards per attempt goes down, which I'm expecting it to kind of balance out over the length of the season, but just through sheer volume, I expect similar production for Sutton. I mean, if the yards per cat or yards per attempt go down, I expect the number of targets for all these guys to tick up slightly, not just, you know, Sutton, but guys like Patrick and Hamler and Fant. I expect that kind of dink and dunk style of offense to create more points in a PPR format just over the long term in the season. So I think we will get an uptick. Now I'm hoping we get a little bit more usage out of Javonte Williams in the passing game. It looks like it's just a 50-50 backfield, which, you know, we talked about it before the season started, that, you know, it was still kind of Melvin Gordon wasn't going to get pushed out. So we knew it's going to be a target share. It's just, you know, he looks like he's the better back in passing down situations. And I think that's going to show itself over the next several weeks as he gets comfortable with the offense.
Yeah, you know what? Since we brought up two receivers, let's just stick on the receiver side of things. Now, both Terry McLaurin and Brandon Cooks led the way with 14 targets each. I know Ryan Fitzpatrick, we were thinking it was going to help Terry McLaurin a lot. And Terry McLaurin was already great because he had a bad quarterback play last season and still able to put up these really good numbers. Well, Ryan Fitzpatrick goes down, and then it's, you know, who is Taylor Heinicke? Is he going to be what? Is he going to be what he was in that playoff game, or what is he going to be? Because that could potentially hurt Terry McLaurin's stock.
Mm-hmm.
No, Terry McLaurin. Does this actually help out? You know, Taylor. I mean, is that a guy now that we're going to be looking at DFS a lot? You know, just what is the trust level there with Taylor Heinicke as his quarterback now instead of Ryan Fitzpatrick? Because it seems that they got a pretty good connection, and it's probably going to be better than it was with Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Yeah. Heinicke, shout out. We both thought that was going to be a nasty slog on Thursday. Remember, I might have jinxed it. It ended up being a shootout.
Yeah, we thought and it was great.
Those Thursday shootouts, and I did do a little bit of research. The Thursday night football games, the over hits over 60% of the time. So fantastic. Just the FYI for all you sports bettors out there, you seem to have some sort of edge on the over. If you want to take a look at that down the line, go to sharpapp.com. but Heinicke looked good. He pushed the ball down the field a whole lot more than I thought he would, and I guess, you know, McLaurin's proving himself to be kind of like, Allen Robinson, a guy that is quarterback proof. It doesn't matter who's throwing him the ball. If you just get it to him, he's going to be able to do something with it regardless of who it is. So, yeah, I'm going to be looking at McLaurin now, because this is like the fourth or fifth mediocre to below average quarterback he's had throwing him the football, and he just continues to produce.
Yeah, he is. And look, again, he was quarterback proof last season. It's not like, you know, Taylor Heinicke was going to come in and Terry McLaurin would just be completely useless, but we just don't know. We didn't know what Taylor Heinicke was going to be, you know, who he's going to target, but it seems like he is really liking throwing to Terry McLaurin. So those two at the top, Brandon Cooks, what do you make of that? 14 targets. Obviously Davis Mills is going to be starting Thursday. He's the only option there. I mean, pretty much that's what it's come down to. He's the only option, but I find that hard to continue with Davis Mills as quarterback. Let's be honest. Tyra Taylor is actually playing pretty well.
Yeah, and I couldn't be happier. I didn't see it. I did not see it coming. You know, but as a Virginia Tech guy, I love seeing him.
Nice.
Actually, he always seems like such a snake bit guy. It was, you know, he either gets injured and gets passed, or somebody punctures his lung and he loses his starting job.
Still one of the most unbelievable stories.
Yeah. I can't believe he didn't sue the Chargers organization for that, but you know, that's a completely different conversation. Maybe they settled behind closed doors and didn't raise a stink, but yeah, the fact that he didn't get an opportunity to even play anymore, but yeah, I'm so happy for Tyrod. Just from a personal level, I'm thrilled that, you know, we're all looking at this team thinking it's going to be a dumpster fire, and on paper it should be a dumpster fire.
Yeah, and he's doing well with it.
Yeah, but
and unfortunately now that he's injured, it just going well, and we thought, wow, you know what, he's looking great, and then this happens again,
and then boom, his hammy goes out. Well, I mean, hopefully it's not a long. It's a short week. I don't think the Texans necessarily want to be one of these middling, you know, 7-10, 8-9, 9-8, you know, one of these teams that's not going to make the playoffs, that's going to get like hell, they don't even get their first round draft pick here coming up next year, do they? Because I believe they gave a first, like their next couple of first round picks up in the Bill O'Brien era. So I don't think it actually really matters to them. So maybe they are going to try and see what they can get out of it. But
so let's go here with wide receivers. Who are you worried about? I think one I would slightly, not too worried, but he's gotten 10 targets in two games, 10 total targets in two games. You know, he was okay in the first one, 4 receptions, about 60-some yards and a touchdown, I think. But it's DK Metcalf. He's just having a start to the season.
Yeah.
It seems like Tyler Lockett, you know, that's the guy. He's the one who's had these huge games. You know, obviously, there are going to be some big games for DK Metcalf, but do we maybe take it too far, knowing that Tyler Lockett was there, thinking that DK Metcalf was just going to take that much of the target share and demand that much attention all the time, when we knew, hey, like, Tyler Lockett's not going away anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, man, Tyler Lockett, he's consistently proven, you know, seasoning. I mean, he's a great talent. It's just
dynamic.
The week to week, and he could just as easily next week catch 2 passes for 26 yards when everybody's going to be on him, because if you look, there's only $100 difference between DK and Lockett, or $100 or $200 difference between the two of them on DraftKings. So I kind of anticipate a lot of that ownership going to Lockett because of the first 2 weeks. And, you know, everybody's going to be trying to scheme DK Metcalf out of the contest, and rightfully so. The home run threat that he presents is, you know, second to none. Mm-hmm. And after the first couple of weeks with Lockett and these blown coverages, because I know that one touchdown pass, it was just, there was nobody within 20 yards of him. Somebody blew a coverage on Sunday, yeah, and they just didn't bother going back there. And
wow,
he
the Titans secondary blowing a coverage? No way. That hasn't happened before. No.
Well, I mean,
that doesn't happen to Tennessee. What are we talking about?
It doesn't happen in Minnesota, who's going to be their next a team.
It actually, I think, kind of does happen in Minnesota a little bit too. I think, yeah,
that might be a little sarcasm built in there. No, so I think what usually happens in those situations when you have multiple wide receivers, if you have them scheming out the big threats, and you know the number two guy or the 1A or 1B goes off and they try to overcorrect, that just creates openings for somebody like a DK Metcalf. So I'm kind of going to go ahead and lean into DK one more week. And yeah, I have a feeling.
I mean, it's going to happen eventually, right? I mean, yeah, there's no way. Absolutely. It's going to have this horrifically bad season. It's going to happen.
He looks fine. It's not like there's anything wrong with him. I just, you know, defenses are scared of him. So,
yeah. So who are you concerned about? Who are you concerned about when it comes to targets, the wide receiver position, that you just go, I'm not really liking this. Like, this isn't what I kind of was expecting coming into the season. I know Tyreek Hill for some has been one of them.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill, but I think that's more of more because of the defenses that they were facing. I'm not too terribly worried about Hill. I thought Kelce was going to be the one to blow up in last week's contest. Anyway, I wanted him. He was my top kind of contrarian play in that showdown slate. I had a feeling because of what Darren Waller did to him just the week before. So I think Tyreek is going to be fine. It's not like the targets go to anywhere else. They don't tend to spread the ball out. It tends to be Kelce, Hill, and then Mahomes running it when he feels like it. I mean, CEH barely gets involved. You know, Mecole Hardman, Byron Pringle, all those guys, they get a play or two and maybe they'll catch a touchdown. I think he's just on the wrong side of luck right now, and that'll even out. As far as being a little bit concerned, I'm starting to get a little bit. He's getting a lot of targets, but it's not converting. I'm a little worried about AJ Brown, just because of the way that Julio looked last week, and I don't always expect that volume to be there with Henry as a running back. So, you know, Tannehill and Julio kind of linked up, and I was not expecting that. So I want to keep an eye on it. You know, A.J. Brown's supremely talented, but I know Tennessee doesn't want to sit there and have to throw the ball, you know, 40-plus times a game. That's just not their style. So I'm going to keep an eye on that. I'm always a little bit concerned about Mike Evans, but that's a personal issue.
Right, yeah. Hey. No, it's completely fair. Especially with all that target share. And like the Antonio Brown thing, you know, week one was great. Week two, mm-hmm, not really a lot either. So
Kenny Golladay, if he does not go off this week, I'm definitely worried.
That's
about
panic button time.
Panic button time, because I this game should be a perfect storm for Kenny Golladay, as far as being able to target him, because I mean, Atlanta, and we've talked about it a lot, they like to blitz the safeties and the cornerbacks. And when it comes to mobile quarterbacks, they can run that bootleg around. And a guy like Golladay in man coverage against the Falcons' poo-poo defense, he should be able to get behind everybody. And I think they're going to focus their attention on Shepard. So if Golladay doesn't go off this week, I've got some serious concerns.
Yeah, that one, I'm so glad I kind of stayed away from the Kenny Golladay situation.
I did too. I didn't think he was going to be the guy, but it's people were really high on him. I mean, Sterling Shepard's been the best wide receiver there for years, and the only issue has been health. So I was, you know, I was Shepard and, you know, Slayton in best ball, so I wasn't really worried about Galladay. But I do think there's a really, really good case to be made to be targeting him in DFS this week.
There you go. Lost you for a bit.
I lost you too.
Okay. Targets and touches right here at WinDailySports.com. My name is John Jansen. Follow me at JJansen34. Follow Stoby at STOWEBY. Looking at all of the targets and touches from week two and helping us into week three here over at WinDailySports.com. Sign up for a gold membership. Use the promo code NFL2021. If you want that promo code, you can use the link in the description to help you sign up, as well as all the tools that we have to offer, just to show you a little bit of what we do have to offer here at WinDaily Sports. Taking lineup questions. Hey, Matt, if you have any questions, just let us know. If anyone has any questions,
yeah. If you want to ask a question, yeah, just understand it's really a little early in the week.
Yeah, it's a little early, but ask away. We'll be able to. We'll try and help you out as best as we can, for sure. So let's go into some of the running backs here. What we thought, not really a concern week one, but it was something that just seemed odd. Completely flipped in week two. Austin Eckler got his targets in the passing game and converted on literally all nine of them. So, not bad for Austin Eckler. I think there was no cause for concern there, and he did well.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I was just watching, and I wasn't worried.
Exactly.
Yeah. If he didn't do that against Dallas, then I would start to be a little bit worried. But yeah, he's firmly in there in the passing game. Thank goodness. And good gracious, the passing volume on that Chargers team is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Mike Williams is like top two or three in the league in targets, and then you know, Keenan Allen, and you know, now Austin Eckler getting used in it. it's silly. Yeah, Mike Williams is number one with Amari Cooper in total targets over the first 2 weeks, and then CeeDee Lamb, Sterling Shepard. And then you go down to number six, and it's Keenan Allen. It's like the volume of just Dallas and the Chargers is just absolutely obscene. And I wasn't expecting Mike Williams to be at the top of that heap.
No, I was not. And here's the question for Matt here. Desperate need of a new quarterback. Screw Joe Burrow. He's been all right. Should I rock with Justin Fields or Kirk this week? Do not rock Justin Fields. Do not. I saw enough in that game. Of course, the running is going to be there a little bit, but I would just stay away from rookie quarterbacks. We're seeing kind of all over the place with rookies. Now, even Mac Jones, like, he's doing well, but you know, he's not putting up enough fantasy points for you not to use somebody like Kirk. But as you were going to say there, Stoby.
Oh, I was getting ready to say, I'm just checking the total on that game. A case could be made to potentially run Kirk against Seattle this week.
Seattle secondary isn't great. Let's be honest. That entire defense. There's no reason to be scared of Seattle anymore. Truly isn't.
No, it's a fit. Oh yeah. You can start Kirk this week. 55.5 total is what it opened up at.
Oh God. 55.5. Woo, yes. Buddy. All right.
Minus two on for the Seahawks. So yeah, go ahead, fire up Kirk.
Yeah, I would absolutely fire up Kirk. I am firing up Justin Jefferson this weekend. I think he's going to have a good game as well. So taking a look at all the other things at running back, and maybe this goes into a little bit of the waiver wire as well. What do we make of Cordarrelle Patterson? Like, this is a thing. And, you know, for all the Mike Davis, and I think he's out snapping him. So I think it's fine. Like the Mike Davis thing, I just don't think he's talented enough. Like, as much as we want to say that he does have a little bit more of the target share and, or at least more of the snap count than I would say Mike Davis. The thing is, Mike Davis just maybe isn't that good. And Cordarrelle Patterson, look, 30 years old. He's a wide receiver converting into a running back. It's weird, but the guy has big playability, and we see Atlanta wanting to use that. There's an absolute need for that kind of player in Atlanta's offense, and they seems like they have every single bit of using him and want to use every single bit of him because they need it. They need that kind of player.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you've got an injured guy on your roster and you want to pick him up for seasonal, and if you happen to be a Mike Davis owner and don't have him already, go ahead and scoop him up. It can't hurt. And you know, we've seen it before where these wide receiver converts have had a decent, you know, single season, like a Ty Montgomery a few years back. So, I mean, it can work, but just understand what you're signing up for. The reason that most of us were okay with Mike Davis as far as a, like a RB3 or RB4 is because we did not anticipate any kind of competition from anyone. We weren't thinking that Cordell Patterson was actually going to get any sort of snap share over Mike Davis. So
yeah,
it would behoove you to go ahead and pick him up if you are a Mike Davis owner and just hold on to it and see what happens.
Because it would have to be, it's not going to be based off of purely running. Because,
yeah,
I mean, as much as he is a faster back than Mike Davis, and I think he's more talented, still, like, he's not an actual running back, and that has its limits. So I don't think Atlanta's going to try and push those limits. But what adds the dynamic is that he can get maybe 20, 30 rush yards per game. And if he's going to get 5 or 6 targets for 30, 40 yards, I mean, it's that's a pretty, like, it's not great because you would need the touchdown, but it's a kind of safe flex floor if you're looking for something like that. And at least somebody on your bench, you know, I think it's completely capable. But again, this could just be a flash in the pan thing. And then Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, continues to fall apart. You know, it's just, I don't know. We've never seen this consistently. It's something really new. It's something that's coming late into a guy's career that we didn't really know. So I honestly, like, I think it's okay to pick him up, but there is sort of a, at least a good floor here, at least in flex spots that I think Patterson provides you with. Just don't expect anything too huge from him though. Like I'm never expecting a 100 yard game from him, whether that's rushing or receiving at all.
Yep. That's an interesting question. You want to go, let's go ahead and take that.
You want this one? You want this one?
That, who are your wide receivers?
You have Gainwell's and RB2. Yeah, we might need to. We'd have to figure that one out. I mean, let's go to David Montgomery though, since we're doing targets and touches here. David Montgomery, what do you think of his performance for the Bears in Week 2?
It's actually better than what it shows on the stat line. He left over 30 yards of offense that got left on the table from a stupid holding penalty, or a couple of stupid holding penalties. He ripped off like a 30-yard reception down the left side, and it got called back, and then he ripped off like an 8-yard run. Montgomery is fine. I keep watching these Chicago games, and Montgomery keeps ripping off these.
He actually, the thing plays is that the talent's actually popping off of the screen now. Like, and it wasn't in the first year. It actually is, and it's really, it's surprising and impressive. So if he's going to get the touches, then, you know, the talent's there for sure.
Yeah, yeah, it's there. It's just his coach likes to run plays that don't fit him. And that is really my only, like, he was, I mean, you're talking about close to 100 yards of total offense last week if it wasn't for penalties. So I anticipate it's either going to get better or it's going to become Lazor's job before the end of the season. They don't have an option.
Would Justin Fields help out? Would Justin Fields help out or hurt David Montgomery?
I, as far as creating running lanes, I think it absolutely helps. As far as the play calling and scheming up goofy reverses and little flea flickers and these kind of plays that don't make any sense for a running back like David Montgomery, I think it hurts. It's a new tool in the toolbox, and he's gonna want to use it way more. Nagy's gonna want to use it a lot more than he should. So,
especially seeing, you know, Justin Fields, he's a rookie, so obviously needs a little bit more polishing in the passing game, as we saw against Cincinnati. Yeah. So,
I could see some read option coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. I could absolutely see that. So I think David Montgomery is going to be good. Now, the rest of this. So, should I trade McLaurin for Montgomery? Obviously, the RB2 there because of Gus Edwards. He has Diggs and Brandon Cooks and Hollywood Brown in a PPR. This is a 12-man PPR league. Mr. Stoke.
I think you can make that. You can take that trade. Honestly, you really need a running back desperately, and Brandon Cooks has exceeded expectations. And Hollywood, that Baltimore defense looks softer than it has been in years.
Right. So and if you can, give us if this is a two wide receiver league, three wide receiver league, if this is a two running back, two wide receiver, and a flex. Because it might, if you need three wide receivers, as long as Brandon Cooks and McLaurin are both being used, I might, just try and obviously you don't want Gainwell there and you're probably not going to get any good running back, but I just keep trying to mix and match. I would not want to get rid of McLaurin and then have Hollywood Brown in there. Nick Chubb, RB1. I don't know. I wouldn't want to get rid of the points there if you're using both McLaurin and Brandon Cooks. But if it's two wide receiver league and you have a flex spot, then I'd probably end up doing it because I don't know if you're going to be able to use
Gainwell's not very, if something, I mean, he'll be supremely in a great position if Miles Sanders gets hurt, obviously, but he is a handcuff, kind of in between a handcuff premium, like with a little bit of standalone value, but it's not enough to be an RB2.
Exactly. So, definitely.
Yeah, you're really thin at running back. So check your depth charts and see what you got on the waiver wire also, and look for some guys that are in some positions that could possibly step up. I doubt somebody like Alexander Mattison is on the team. Normal format flex and kicker.
Since you have the flexibility with the flex spot, it doesn't need to be a receiver. Absolutely. I think you can make that trade to get David Montgomery. All right. You're tuned in to Targets and Touches right here. WinDailySports.com. Last thing. So any other thing on the running backs? I know we didn't get into it too much there, but Cordarrelle Patterson, probably the biggest one. Kamara owners were kind of let down a little bit, but I don't think there's too much to look into there. I do want to look into a little bit because this is the one that we're going to be streaming the entire time. And I imagine if you didn't get some of the top guys that you're likely going to be looking each week at trying to see which streaming option is best. But tight ends, what did you make of some of the tight ends? Jack Doyle, now Carson Wentz, we have no idea if he's going to play in week three because he not only sprained one ankle, but he sprained both ankles. Oh, boy. So Jack Doyle, he was getting peppered with targets and throws from Carson Wentz. But outside of that, where are we looking? Kyle Pitts, it doesn't seem like there's really too much to be, disappointed about. I think Kyle Pitts was getting involved a lot more, and I think that's just going to be continued and continued to get better throughout the season. But I guess what is a tight end here that you are looking at and that you are impressed with some of the target share? Cole Kmet from week one to week two. Really could have been, of course, with the quarterback situation that happened there with Andy Dalton leaving with an injury. So what are some of the tight ends that we are looking at and who impressed you in week two?
Me. TJ Hockenson has been...
It's happening. The breakout season is happening right before our eyes.
I was not expecting this.
Not even a little bit.
Goff. I mean, I knew he was going to get some work because they don't really have a lot of wide receivers besides Quintez Cephas. This is the breakout, and he's doing it with Jared freaking Goff.
Yes,
let's see, another one that I'm kind of looking at. Well, actually, no, I can't even look at him now because we got questions with Tua for next week. I was kind of interested in Mike Gesicki against the Raiders coming up, but we need to see how that whole situation is going to pan out.
Gronk just going to have a great season, by the way? Like, is it just
if he stays healthy? Yes,
that's the thing. He's just going to be a top tight end again, all of a sudden out of nowhere.
I've been happy with Gronk the whole time, so I didn't feel like I needed to say nothing about him. Gronk is 6 months older than Travis Kelce. That's it. He's healthy. Yeah, everybody thinks he's old,
and it's not. It is. Well, he does look like at times, and I know Dan Lebatard described him this way, that when he runs down the field, it's looked like all of his parts are like if he's a robot and his parts just flying off as he's running down the field. Like he does, but it's just, you're right. Like there's still something left in the tank here.
Yeah, he took a year off. He got his body healed up. These NFL players, they a lot of times they're playing multiple seasons with the same injury, and they pile up and pile up and pile up, and they never get healed, and then everything falls apart all at once. Well, he was lucky enough to get himself a year off. He's I know he's a goofy meathead, but when it comes to the football stuff, he takes it very, very seriously. He takes care of his diet. He's really strict on that. He took his conditioning really seriously. He had a full off season, just like Antonio Brown, where he could get trained up down there in Florida, get acclimated. And we already know that chemistry with Brady is second to none. So we're looking at a situation where all he has to do is stay healthy, and he could be a top two, three, four, five tight end in the NFL at the end of the season if he plays all 17 games.
Could be. All right, so that is going to wrap things up here. Targets and Touches, all sponsored by the Sharp app. Go to sharp.app. Go to any of your app stores that you use, and go check out Sharp as well. Would you guys ride Logan Thomas as a tight end one or try to trade for a tight end? I'd ride it out.
To be continued on that. Ride it out for right now. Don't give up faith with him when it comes to Thomas. We want to see what Heineke's going to do. You know, we weren't necessarily thrilled about Fitzpatrick because we know he likes to push the ball downfield, but Heineke was trying to target Logan Thomas several times in that last game. It's just the matter of they didn't convert. So go ahead, give it a couple of more weeks and see.
I completely agree. Yep, I absolutely agree with that. So that is it for us. Again, sponsored by Sharp. Go to sharp.app. Also, sign up WinDailySports.com. Link is in that description right down below. Down there, right there in that description thing, the sign-up link. You can go check that out. NFL 2021, 6 months gold membership for $100 off. You can follow us at Win Daily Sports. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Win Daily Sports. We have already up there now the waiver wire report, a nice quick little video for you to check out. Also, a quick video giving you some MLB DFS plays for today. And we'll be back tomorrow. Tony Jigsaw Cotillo and I will be going over the quarterbacks and stacks. Oh, yeah, it's going to be fun. I don't know. Maybe you could join if you want to. But quarterbacks and stacks tomorrow, 5 o'clock, right here, Win Daily Sports. My name is John Jansen. Follow me at JJansen34. You can follow Stoby at STOWEBY. We'll be back tomorrow here at WinDailySports.com.